We're going to talk about be dependable. Look in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10, verse 26. Proverbs 10, verse 26. I've got to use one hand here to turn in my Bible now that I have the clicker. I'm going to have to practice, figure this out. But Proverbs 10, verse 26 says, "Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him." I really enjoy sitting around a campfire at night and when it's chilly. And of course, that doesn't happen often in Florida. It doesn't often get chilly enough to have a fire. But when it does, the warmth of that fire is just so comforting. But what I cannot stand about campfires is when the wind suddenly shifts directions on you and all that smoke just blows straight in your face. Because what then happens is this warming, calming, comforting experience of sitting around a fire just changes directions immediately, and now you're freaking out and you're jumping out of your chair and you're rubbing your itching eyes and you're coughing, and it's just very unpleasant. I've never had the opportunity or curse to drink straight vinegar before, but apparently vinegar here was a reference to wine that had been fermented so long that it became sour. This would be what the Roman soldiers tried to give Jesus while he was on the cross. I think it'd be terribly unpleasant. It would be so sour, your face would just kind of scrunch up, and if you really had unhealthy teeth, it would probably hurt because of the bitterness. And both smoke to the eyes and vinegar to the teeth are what Solomon says, or what it's like to send a lazy person on a mission. It's something you thought was going to be beneficial, but it really ended up just being irritating and annoying, and you regretted that you sent that person. I guess the reason I thought about this sermon is I've been watching the presidential race a little bit more closely than I have been in the past years. And the other day I realized we're all really looking for one thing in a president: dependability. Dependability. That means a lot of things. There's a lot in that statement about being dependable. But we're asking ourselves, as we watch the debates and as we listen to these news interviews with these candidates, we're asking, can I depend on this person? Can I count on him or her to do what needs to be done? Or will it be like sending a lazy person on a mission only to be disappointed? Now, I'm not here to talk politics or to incite a riot, but polls are very clear. Okay, that many people in this country feel this way about our current president. They feel like, well, we have sent somebody on a mission, and he has failed to do what he was supposed to do. Now, you can disagree with that, and that's okay. But I bring that up to ask this. What if we took a poll of the country to ask whether or not Christians were dependable? Oh, the poll wouldn't be, do you agree with all the things that Christians believe? Well, of course, that would come back pretty negative. But the poll would say, can you count on Christians to be dependable, to be there when you need them, to get the job done when you ask them to do something? I think it's even more important that we as Christians be dependable than that the President of the United States be dependable. And the reason for that is the President of the United States is supposed to be the representative of the people. But you see, Christians, we are the representatives of God on the earth. We are supposed to be the representatives of Jesus Christ. And God and Jesus Christ are definitely dependable. You can count on Jesus. Jesus is our solid rock upon which we stand, upon which we depend. And as we sing, all other help is just sinking sand. And God and Jesus have never been smoke to the eyes or vinegar to the teeth of anyone, because they didn't get done what needed to be done. And that ought to be said for us as Christians. So tonight, we're going to talk about emulating the dependability of our Lord and Master, and consider three things it means to be dependable, using them as our example. First of all, we do our jobs. I'm just taking a very straightforward approach to this lesson. Nothing complicated. It's very simple, but very profound and seemingly difficult for many people in the world today. We just do our jobs. And the reason I say jobs is because, well, We have many jobs. We have various responsibilities and tasks in this life, not just what we would call our career or our working occupations. We all have many different hats that we wear, and with each hat comes unique tasks that we're expected to carry out. We have tasks as Christians to serve God, and as brothers and sisters in Christ to one another. And husbands, we have responsibilities to our wives, and wives to our husbands, as children to our parents, as parents to our children, as employees to bosses, as students to teachers, and perhaps many other responsibilities. But to be dependable simply means we carry out the tasks that we've been assigned. Look in Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 in verse 3. Proverbs 25 in verse 3. This is actually the opposite of Proverbs 10:26. And notice what he says is the opposite. It says, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Now, there's a debate about the analogy here. What in the world is he talking about? In the world, is there snow in times of harvest? It's almost like he's saying there's snow when it's hot. Well, many people agree that this passage is talking about cooling drinks using snow, because when it was hot outside, sometimes they would travel up into the high mountains where there would still be snow, and they could actually transport that using jute, which is some form of wheat grass or something. They'd wrap it up and they'd insulate that, and then they would use that to cool their drinks in the fever heat of summer and in the harvest time, even in the spring. And so he says that's refreshing when that happens. Well, he says, in like manner, someone who is dependable is refreshing to his master. And what I want us to see here and point out is that the opposite of being lazy is being faithful. So the way to refresh the soul of God, our ultimate master, or to refresh the soul of anybody who has appointed us some task or holds us to some responsibility in this life, well, the way to do that is to be faithful. And that word, of course, is the same word that is used of God. Look, for instance, in Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Listen to what it said about the Lord here. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God. It's the same exact word in the Hebrew from Proverbs 25, 13. The faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments. You just think about all the tasks that God had to complete as part of this covenant with His people. He had to give them a law, and He had to enforce that law. He had to bring them into the land of Canaan. He had to protect them from all of their enemies. He had to carry out all the promises that He made to Abraham, and even the promises, you know, He made back to Adam and Eve about sending the seed of the woman to crush the serpent. And He had to be there to answer the prayers of His people and to be there for them. I mean, there are just so many tasks that God took on when He said, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people. And the reason God is faithful is because He never once failed in any one of His tasks. He saw all those tasks through to completion until the end. And in fact, we see this in the Son as well. Look in John 19, a very familiar verse, probably don't have to look at it, but John 19, this is one of the most powerful displays of dependability in the Bible. John 19, verse 21. I have the wrong reference. Uh-oh. I'm not being dependable right now. What's happening? One second. Oh, okay. John 19, verse 30. I don't know where I got 21. That is odd. Verse 30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, there's that vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Jesus proved to be dependable because He completed everything that He came to do. And it wasn't just the cross that He came to complete. Remember, He came to preach the kingdom of God and to teach people that they needed to repent. He came to rebuke the religious leaders of the day and to stand up to those who had perverted God's laws and substituted their man-made laws. He came to establish a relationship with His disciples and to forgive people of their sins and to perform all these miracles that showed people that he had the power to forgive sins. And then ultimately, of course, he went to the cross. But the point is, every single one of those tasks, Jesus was able at the very end of his life to say, "It is finished." Because he did them all. He completed them all. And God wants us to be people who, when given a task, can say, "It is finished." Because we did our jobs as well. Look at this connection in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, this is about the parable of the talents. And of course, the point is we've all been given various responsibilities by God. We don't all have the same responsibilities. And some of our responsibilities are more weighty than others. And yet God expects us, no matter where we are, no matter what we've been given, whatever our task is, that we be faithful in carrying out that task. And so Jesus tells this parable to illustrate this point in Matthew 25. And he says, beginning in verse 19, "Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful,'" or maybe "good and dependable slave. 'You were faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And also the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more. And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful, you were dependable with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" It may seem obvious to say that we need to be dependable as Christians. It seems like a kind of a pointless thing to talk about, but dependability seems increasingly rare in our society today on so many levels. Students, you see in school, there are other students that teachers just cannot depend on to get their work done. Teachers cannot depend on certain students to be prepared for their tests. In the workplace, you see coworkers that, well, you just can't depend on them to complete their job. They're always leaving something out of their job description. You may experience that even if you don't work for that company. Have you ever dealt with customer service? and you call them about some complaint and they say, "Oh, thank you, sir, for calling. We're going to get right on this. I'm going to send an email to my department head and he's going to get this to you and we're going to ship this back to you and it's all going to be great." And then you never hear from them again. And you have to call them back in a week because they never called you back and nothing happened. That's just not being dependable. Maybe more seriously, you see fathers today in our society refusing to be dependable leaders for their family, abandoning even their, you know, having children out of wedlock and then abandoning these mothers to raise their own kids all by themselves. You have spouses getting divorced whenever things get hard. And of course, you have people who call themselves Christians and yet they're not dependable to have morally high standards. You have people calling themselves Christians, they're not dependable to even go to worship. They're not even dependable to read their Bibles ever. And yet they're nominally Christians. We call people like this flaky. See, when something like a piece of bread is flaky, it means it kind of crumbles in our hand. It kind of comes apart very easily. It's just not very solid. And sadly, it's very possible to be flaky Christians. That people can't count on to get things done, and God can't count on to get much of anything done, because we just crumble under the weight of responsibility. Let's look to Jesus. Let's be the opposite of flaky. Let's be solid rocks that will not break at all, that will not crumble when given a responsibility. And I'll tell you, one of the things that characterizes flaky, undependable people are excuses. Excuses. Flaky people are the kings and queens of the excuse. They've mastered the art, almost, of excuse making, it seems, and they get more creative all the time. We see this in the parable of the talents, right here in our text, in Matthew chapter 25. The first two slaves were faithful, but then look what happens in verse 24. The one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." So he didn't produce anything for the master. He was not dependable. But then he blames the master. He says, "Well, listen, I just thought you're such a horrible and capricious master that if I would have lost your talent, well, then you'd have killed me or you'd have freaked out on me, so I just kept it safe. Not my fault. Or one of my favorites in Proverbs 22 and verse 13, the sluggard says, "There's a lion in the streets. I can't go out there. I can't do what I need to do. There's a lion roaming out there. He's going to get me." Again, flaky people get creative. The chronically late person, for instance, you know, always has some excuse. You know, the traffic was terrible. You know, I couldn't find my keys. You know, it was Friday. Students who regularly don't get their schoolwork done, they have excuses. I had friends in town. You know, I forgot. Or teachers aren't fair. They gave away too much homework. You know, coworkers, they maybe have excuses. Hey, listen, the computers were down. I was going to send the email, but things weren't working. I didn't get the memo. Parents and spouses have all kinds of excuses when they fail their children and they fail each other. I didn't know it'd be this hard. You know, kids are expensive. We just fell out of love. Fill in the blank. Christians, flaky Christians, have excuses for why they stopped serving God and fell away. You know, all those people in that church, you know, they're a bunch of hypocrites. That's why I'm not serving the Lord. I'm not going there anymore. Or, you know, God never answers my prayers. Or that temptation was just too strong. You know, all of these excuses, they just make it sound like we have no control over our actions. That it's everybody else's fault. It's just like Adam and Eve in the garden. Hey, what? We didn't do it. It was the woman's fault. You know, it was your fault, God. And the truth is, we're just not being dependable when we're making excuses. That's really the heart of the matter. That's why this is a simple, direct lesson. Because it's really a simple point. And I understand, folks, sometimes we make mistakes, right? And we're not as dependable as we should be all the time. But my point tonight is not, well, we have to be perfect or we're not dependable. No, my point is, let's make it a top priority to be dependable enough to do our jobs and to do them fully and to do them well without excuse. Jesus, if you think about Him, He had every opportunity to make excuses as to why it was too hard for Him to do what He did and why the timing just wasn't right and, God, maybe I'll do it later. Maybe I'll get crucified when I'm 85 instead of 30, 33. If Jesus was flaky, we'd all be lost. But He wasn't. And so when people ask us to do things and when we're in situations that demand our attention, let's just be people who can say, "It is finished." So that the people in our lives can say of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Of course, the most important, when we get to heaven or when we get to the judgment day, that God will say the same thing, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, let me give you a couple helpful tips on this, because many of us already know we need to be dependable. We just need some practical advice about how to be more dependable. Well, let me say this. First of all, pray for God's help. Jesus did this all the time. He was praying for the Lord's help. When we pray to God to help us meet our responsibilities, it keeps our responsibilities fresh in our minds, and of course it calals upon God to give us the strength to complete those things. Also, write things down. We wear so many hats. We're so busy. There's so many things. It's a challenge to keep track of all the things that we are supposed to be doing. And so, for instance, I bought an hourly planner, and it helps me to just write out every day what I'm going to do every single hour. Now, there's flexibility in that, and of course, things come up and I won't be able to account for it, and I'll have to make adjustments. But in general, I'm trying to write down everything. I have to be here. I told this person I'd call them. I'm calling them at 1:30. You know, I have this appointment. I'm writing that down. I got to go to lunch with somebody on Sunday. I'm writing that down. Because if not, I can try, but I just forget and I can't keep track of it all. So writing down things are very helpful. Also, there's a lot of material on time management. All kinds of books, all kinds of articles written about this. People major in this in college. A helpful example would be Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's just a really helpful book. Recommend that. Based on biblical principle, too. He talks a lot about the Bible in that book as well. So very helpful. Also, preempt excuses. You know, I've already encouraged us not to make excuses, but to preempt an excuse is to anticipate what excuse we may possibly make and then just cut it off at the pass, because we know it's coming. We know it's an excuse that we may make. So, for instance, if my excuse for being late is always traffic, well, I can preempt that excuse. I can just cut that excuse off by determining to leave earlier. If my excuse for not getting something done by Monday is that I have friends in town for the weekend, I can anticipate that's going to be a problem. I'm probably going to have to use that excuse on Monday. So in order to cut that off, I'm just going to determine I'm going to work a lot harder on Thursday and Friday before my friends get here. If my excuse for not being faithful to God is that, well, God just doesn't answer my prayers, I can preempt that excuse by actually studying the Bible about what it says about prayer and understanding, you know, how to really grasp the answers that God gives us and realize where we're going wrong on that. And I thought about this at the last second because this is a good point. I don't have it on the screen. But this goes along, too, with what we talked about a month ago, learning to say no. So be careful over-scheduling as well. Think about that lesson that we talked about then as well, because I think that's also a helpful tip. Secondly, to be dependable, we need to keep our word. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Apparently there was some confusion, and I won't go through all that because people who had my 2 Corinthians class, I remember, you know, all of our eyes were crossed when we were trying to keep track of Paul's travel plans. But basically, Paul's travel plans, there was some confusion about that. And some of his opponents were saying, oh, you know, you can't trust Paul because he doesn't keep his word. He says he was going to travel here and then he went there. And so he says one thing means something completely different. Well, listen to what Paul says because they completely misunderstood that. He says in verse 17, therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Well, what I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh so that with me there will be yes, yes and no at the same time? And he says, but as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. I find it fascinating. Paul actually brings God into this. He says, not only is my word to you, was my word to you trustworthy, he says, but I'm true to my word just as God is true to his. Here in this context, when Paul calls God faithful, he doesn't just mean that God is faithful in carrying out tasks. He's saying God is faithful in keeping his word. That when God says something, he's not wishy-washy. He doesn't vacillate and go back and forth and play games like we'll talk about in a second. And notice in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is the same way. In Mark chapter 10, he is faithful to the things that he says. In Mark 10, he tells his disciples exactly what's going to happen. He says in verse 33, we'll start there, verse 33 in Mark 10, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise again. Everything Jesus said would happen here happened. And it's not just a matter of prophecy. It's not, oh, well, Jesus knows the future, so of course that's going to happen. Jesus made this happen. He said, oh, we're going to Jerusalem. Well, he chose to do that. And you see that in the next chapter that he actually goes to Jerusalem. So he not only followed through on the task that God gave him, he followed through on his word to complete that task to the disciples. You could depend on the fact that if Jesus said he would do something, it was as good as done. And it's the same with his Father, and that's how it should be with us as Christians. It's just a fact, isn't it? Much easier to say we're going to do something than to actually do it. Much easier to make promises than it is to keep them and to fulfill them. And again, thinking about the presidential race, we all have that in the back of our minds, right? We're listening to these, I don't know if you are or not, I've been following the debates. I think it's helpful and good. But anyway, I'm listening to these debates, and I have in the back of my head just what everybody else does. Okay, you're saying a lot of things in this debate. The question is, can I depend on you to actually do what you're saying you're going to do? That's really what we want to know. You might sound wonderful, but will you follow through? Will you keep your word? That's what we all want to know about our candidates. James chapter 2. James builds on this. On this point, that it's so much easier to say than to do. And he says in James chapter 2, look there in James 2, verses 14 through 17. He says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, And yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body. What use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. I know it's not James's main point here, but he's saying it's much easier to say we have faith in God and to say that we're committed to Him than to actually live like we're committed to Him. It's much easier to say to somebody, I care about you, I think you should have all your needs met, but then not meet their needs. That's the harder part. And that's why, again, this is somewhat of a companion to the lesson I preach about learning to say no, because while we certainly want to be dependable, we don't want to make ourselves or set ourselves up so that people are dependent on us for everything. And also, while we certainly want to keep our word, we have to be careful making too many commitments and saying yes to too many things that we can handle just because we're afraid to tell someone no. That's trouble. Abraham Lincoln once said, "We must not promise what we ought not, lest we be called on to perform what we cannot." That's exactly right. But our goal as Christians should be, if I told somebody I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it just because I said that I would do it. Yet, of course, whenever we make commitments that are hard to keep, there's always the temptation to look for loopholes to get out of those commitments. Just as flaky people are masters of excuses when they fail tasks, flaky people are also masters of looking for ways around keeping their word and getting out of their commitments. For instance, flakes get technical on wording. Look in Matthew chapter 5. The Pharisees, they came up with all kinds of special rules about what constitutes a binding vow. Certain vows were binding and others weren't, depending on the wording you used when you made the vow, and even depending on the direction you were facing geographically when you made the vow. It was so ridiculous. And then Jesus comes along and teaches them a revolutionary concept. How about you all just be people that keep your word, Jesus says. And people who follow through on their promises and are dependable, who don't need special wording in order for something to be binding on you. So he says in Matthew 5, specifically in verse 33 through 37, he says, "Again, you've heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord.' But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of His feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil." So they would invoke the temple, and if they invoke the temple, then, you know, it wasn't binding. But if they invoke the gold of the temple, well, then it is binding. Or if they're facing Jerusalem, well, then it's binding. But if they weren't facing, Jesus says, throw all that out the window and just be honest. Just be dependable. Just follow through with what you say. When you say yes, then mean yes. When you say no, then mean no. Flakes also procrastinate. Sometimes we'll say we'll do something, but if we weren't specific about the time limit, well, we can just drag that out forever. So in essence, we haven't really broken our word, it's just that we haven't quite followed through with it yet. Look in Ecclesiastes 5 in verse 4. God addresses us concerning our vows and the things that we tell Him that we're going to do. But this is a principle that applies to the promises and the statements that we make to people. In Ecclesiastes 5 verse 4, he says, "When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it. For He takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow." He just says, don't be late. Don't dawdle. Don't take your time. Just get on with doing what you said that you do. That is what being dependable is all about. Someone once said, "Promises are like crying babies in a theater. They should be carried out at once." If I borrow something, just think of a practical example. If I borrow something important from you, like, say, your lawnmower, and I say, "Thank you so much. You know, I assure you, I will bring this back to you, and I just appreciate so much and that you lend this to me. But it takes me 6 months to give you that lawnmower back. Technically, I've kept my word because I told you, I assure you, I'm going to give it back to you. But do you look at me and say, 'Wow, what a dependable person that is'?" No, I wasn't really dependable at all. Now, I guess you could say, well, hey, it's that person's fault for not asking for it back. But again, that's not a dependable attitude. That's not right. The point is they shouldn't have to, because you, as the dependable person, are sensitive to the fact that they'll need the lawnmower back as soon as possible to mow their own lawn. I'm not a William Shakespeare fan at all, mainly because I just don't understand what he's saying. It's just, my teachers tried to explain it to me, and I couldn't get it. I still can't get it. But there was a quote that I read from one of his plays. The play was called Measure for Measure. And one of the characters said something that just was very striking to me. I think it's very helpful. But one of the characters, speaking of another character, said this, quote, "Believe me, this may be. He promised to meet me 2 hours since, and he was ever precise in promise keeping." That's what it means to be dependable, to be ever precise in promise keeping. And of course, as Christians, we shouldn't even have to make promises, so really it should be that we are ever precise in word keeping. And third and finally, just be consistent, be consistent. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, we'll lump God and Jesus together in the same passage here. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For God Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." So in this passage, we see that both God and Jesus are consistent. God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and then the text says that Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think it's easy to make resolutions, you know, that we're going to be more dependable, and maybe we get our act together, and we do our jobs, and we keep our word, but we only do that for like a month, and then we go back to being flaky and making excuses and finding loopholes and all that. For other people, they're just sporadic and all over the place. It may not be that they go for a month of being dependable, but they're just up and down. You just can't tell. One day they're dependable, the next day they're not. 1 week they say they're going to do something, and they do it. And the next week it seems like they don't care about honoring their word at all. And so you just never can really tell. But see, the point of being dependable is that it's one of those character qualities that has to be true all the time. Otherwise, it's not really existent. We can't be mostly dependable. We're either dependable or we're not. Now, maybe someone's thinking, well, how can somebody always be dependable? Because that would mean we'd have to be perfect, right? That would mean we'd always have to do everything exactly the way we intended. Well, that's not necessarily true, because even dependable people make mistakes. And just because we failed a commitment, just because we failed a task or a job or to keep our word on something, we can still make mistakes and be dependable as long as we own those mistakes. As long as we own those mistakes and demonstrate to people that we're going to try to do better next time. You know, if I told you I'd do something and I didn't, I can still be considered dependable if I admit that I was wrong. I may just have to say, listen, I am so sorry. I completely forgot. I know that I really let you down. And I'm going to write it down next time. I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen again. That mistake won't necessarily cancel out my dependability. Now, of course, people can catch on. If you do that all the time and you say, oh, I'm sorry. That doesn't work, because that's not sincerity. There needs to be a certain repentance about it. Same way with our service to God, right? To say that we're consistently faithful doesn't mean that we're perfect and sinless. It means that we're striving to not let God down. And if we do sin, and we do let God down, we own it and we confess it. That doesn't change our faithfulness just because we sinned. We committed an unfaithful act, but we can still be considered faithful if we'll turn to Him in repentance. Sometimes we will commit undependable acts. We will mess up. But we can still prove that we are consistently dependable based on how we respond to that undependable act. But for some people, their dependability is so sporadic, so up and down. Others just look at them and say, I just don't have much confidence in this person. I just don't know if I can trust this person because sometimes he or she does what I ask, sometimes he or she doesn't. I like what Jesus says. Last passage here in Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus calls us to consistent service. He says in Luke chapter 9, in verse 23. Luke chapter 9, in verse 23. He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus expects us to serve him daily. Not just once in a while, not just monthly or weekly, not when we feel like it, but daily and consistently. And Jesus is consistent with us. He always lives to make intercession for us, as it says in Hebrews chapter 7. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wake up guessing whether or not Jesus is going to be dependable today. Whether Jesus is going to be as dependable today as he was yesterday. We don't have to wonder about that. We can know that for certain. And what an amazing example to emulate in our lives. The solid rock of Jesus Christ. So that when people look at us, they will see that we are solid rocks. Because we're following and emulating that rock. And people can look at us and say, I trust you. Because you're dependable. And just imagine. Imagine a world full of dependable people. What would that look like? That would be remarkable. Imagine a society of people striving to be as dependable as God. That's a world that I would want to live in. And as Christians, we can make this world a little bit more dependable. And we can stand out. And people, when they notice that we are dependable, when we notice that we do stand out from others, that's when we can take the opportunity and point them to the reason for our dependability. It's because we have a God. We have a Savior who never lets us down. We have a Savior who always does what He needs to do to save us, to love us, to bring us to heaven. We have a Savior who always keeps His word to us, and we're just trying to emulate that in our lives. Let's just be dependable. Let's be that solid rock, like our Lord is a solid rock. You have your songbooks tonight. We're going to sing a song encouraging you to put your faith in the solid rock. Because I'll be honest with you, people will let you down in this life. Nobody is 100% dependable in this life. And that's why we don't put our hope in people. We're putting our hope in the 100% dependable Lord. And if you've not put your faith in Him and been baptized into Him, I'm encouraging you to do that tonight, to be saved. And if you've done that already and you've wandered off and you've been completely inconsistent in your service to the Lord and you've been sporadic and living in sin, won't you repent? Won't you commit to being dependable again and following your Lord? If we can help you in any way, come forward while we stand and sing.